So why don't you turn to Luke chapter 18 for me, please. Luke chapter 18. So while you're turning there, and Robert gets the volume all good for us here, I have a question. And the question is, why did the cowboy get a wiener dog? Why did the cowboy get a wiener dog? He wanted to get along little doggy. There you go. See, that's what happens when you do things in the flesh. You get a joke like that. So hopefully the rest of this will not be like that. All right, very good. So Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 is where we'll be reading. Most of it is just for context. We're focusing on verse 1 and verse 8. And Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the time that we get to study from your word tonight, Lord. Pray that you would guide and direct in everything that is said and done. Pray that your word would reach your people and feed them according to your will, Lord. And it's probably these things and in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so the focus, and this is really a launching off point, and I have to apologize to my wife ahead of time because I use a lot of Bible, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight, is we're going to be taking a journey through God's word tonight. And my wife has to not only find the passage for herself, but also for Chloe, in a hard-to-turn page Bible, so sorry. So if we go back to Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it's amazing where this parable is announced ahead of time what it's going to be. Usually the parables that Christ gives, the disciples got to go to him later, Lord, what on earth was that about? Give us a clue, right? Well, right up front, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." This is why he spoke it. "That men ought always to pray and not to faint." That's the whole point of this, right? And the message is to Christians, right? Because non-Christians aren't praying. This is to us. He wants us to pray. He wants us to not faint. That's the point. We're the target. And at the end of the parable in verse 8, there's a nevertheless. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, when Christ comes again, shall he find faith on the earth? So that's where we get our title from for the message tonight. It's called Any Faith with a question mark. So let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You can leave Luke behind. We're never going back there again. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There have been a lot of changes in our lives over the past year. And the questions you will most often hear are, what's going on? And when will things get back to normal? Right? What's going on, and when will things get back to normal? Well, I'm a big fan of bursting bubbles. I have 7 kids, so that's what I do for a living. So I'm here to bust a big bubble for you tonight. There really is no normal, right? You're never going back to wherever you think that is, right? There is no normal. All normal is what you're used to in a period of time, right? We had high school graduation here not that long ago. What was their normal? It just changed, right? So all it is what you're used to for a period of time. If we take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything, there is a purpose, or there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Right? As Ecclesiastes tells us, there's a time and a purpose for everything. And when viewed through a tiny prism of time like our lives are, each of these things that were mentioned could be considered the normal. Right? I have one of my favorite pictures I have next to my bed is from my brother's wedding. And Sarah was a flower girl there. And she's a cute little three-year-old, right? Had bangs, just smiley, just cute. See, that's the normal I want to go back to, right? She hasn't had bangs since then. And I keep teasing her for it because she was so cute and adorable back then. But no, I get this grown-up woman. Brother Harding, did you ask for your girls to grow up? No. Nobody asked that of me, right? But if I wanted to go back to that normal, I'd miss the cute little four-year-old on the end. Right? That would never have happened. Because you'd be stuck in that little moment of time. Right? You're saying, well, Brother Cohen, that's all on you. That's your problem. All right, fine. I'll take that. Global warming, right, has been in the news again, with about ice melting in Canada and Greenland and such, right? Well, under the ice that's melting, guess what they're finding? Grass and foliage and stuff. Well, how do you think that got there? It was there first, right? Okay. How many of you remember, I know Pat Kalin and Darlene Carroll aren't here, but how many of you remember when Wisconsin was covered by glaciers? Nobody remembers, right? Well, now they're not. Which normal do you prefer? Right? Glaciers? No glaciers? All right, that's too political. Can't go there, right? I got to shrink the example for you. When I was a kid, I had an unofficial grandmother. Her name was Grandma Elizabeth. She is the namesake from where Amber gets her middle name from. Amber Grandma Elizabeth Cohan. Right. My Grandma Elizabeth was a humble, kind, sweet, dear lady who was hard of hearing, so that each week our family would call her from our corded rotary phone that hung on the wall. And then yell at her how we were doing. Right? She, our Grandma Elizabeth, lived through most of the 1900s, right? Dying in her 90s. But she was always praising Almighty God. Everything. I remember that phrase, praise the Lord God Almighty. Always coming out of her mouth, right? She's this little short, hunched over, you know, grandma, you know, and she's praising the Lord. And it boggles my mind to think about her life. And see, now I'm going to take a little step aside, and I'm going to say, young people, you should take the time to get to know your grandparents. Get to know your grandparents, right? Because there was a time where they were as cool as you think you are. All right? There's a lot of stuff that they lived, they saw, they heard, they went through, they experienced that you have no clue about. And my grandma Elizabeth is the perfect example of that. She was born in Romania and immigrated here. I have no idea when, because I was too young to realize how cool she was until it was too late. So the changes that she saw just coming from Romania, in the early 1900s, Romania, not like Romania now, but like Romania, you know, right, to the United States. And the things that she saw, radio, TV, color TV, that's all in her lifetime. Cameras, not the thing that you have in your pocket that you carry around, stuff that you have to wait to get developed, you know. Automobiles, right? Air travel. Space exploration. Now we go there for fun, right? When she was born, no, not so much, right? Saw World War I, World War II, and all the other wars in after that, right? But those are the big ones we go back to. Indoor plumbing. The women's right to vote. Segregation. These are all things that she grew up in. And that's the big stuff I could think of off the top of my head. And there's a whole ton of other stuff in there. Which normal do you think she'd like to go back to? Right? You hear about the lists that each year comes out where the college students from this year never knew about these things. That's my grandma's whole life, right? All the things we're grown up with, computers, all these things that we've grown up with and take for granted now. And what do you mean my battery's dead? How do I live? Right? You realize she had to get from Romania to the United States with no GPS. How you do that? Huh? There's like boats and schedules and things. And right? How do you get from point A without your GPS? Right? Ecclesiastes, we're still here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10 has a warning for us here, where it says, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." We look back and we like to think, oh, those are the good old days, right? That's not wise. What's the cause, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I'm just going to give these verses. I expect you to turn there because I'm turning there. I'm not going to keep saying turn there, turn there, turn there, all right? So just go with me, all right? Ecclesiastes 7:10 warns us about the former days. And the reason it warns us is because of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is behind us." No, wait, that ain't right. The race that is set before us. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us we have a race that is set before us, right? Not a little walk that's set before us, but a race. A race where we want to get someplace quickly, fast, progress, right? How many of you ever seen, I'm sure nobody here has ever seen those videos on YouTube where a racer or a biker celebrates too early and is looking behind him, and then his bike goes like this, and pow, and he's a mess, right? Because those are funny. But think if God had YouTube for Christians. And how many are sailing through life and look behind them and pow, hit a tree, right? Or off into the weeds, or trip and stumble on their own feet and down they go because they were looking behind, right? Our focus is to be ahead, right? Our focus is to be ahead. Otherwise, you end up being blooper reel material, all right? So with the fact that there is no normal, right? I appreciate the first part of the song where that Abby started with this morning, where I admit I don't understand, right? And I want to tell you, it's okay. It's okay to not understand what God is doing, all right? It's okay to not understand why God wants you to do something. It's okay to not understand why he wants you to go through something. It's okay to not understand when God's gonna act on what he wants you to do, right? So I just wanna tell you, it's okay. You're not going to, right? Because Isaiah 55 warns us about that. So go ahead and turn there, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And this is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is God saying, I know more than you. Don't worry about it. Do what you're told. Right? There are many of us in here who have kids, and the phrase parents like to say is, just do what you're told, right? Well, we, as the children of our Heavenly Father, should also be doing what we're told, right? So it's okay to not understand. Just do what he's told you to do. Just do what he's told you to do. Think about, there's tons of examples in the Bible. Go back to Genesis, Genesis 6. We're just going to touch on a couple big ones, right? Genesis 6. As Brother Jesse would say, it's like right after the cover and before Exodus. So Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. Here we have Noah. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Okay, so Bible stories to me are, I wish there was more detail, you know? Because God, if God came to me, and maybe that's why he didn't come to me, and goes, I'm going to destroy all the earth and, you know what, build an ark, And then he goes on to list all this stuff, and my mind goes, poof, wait, destroy all the flood of waters, what, huh? And I just missed everything, right? So if you're Noah, you know, and you knew Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways, you'd be like, wait a minute. Flood of waters, what on earth are you talking about? Destroy everything, what about me? Well, I'm in the ark. Okay, that's good. So there's just so much in the... How does that conversation go? How does Noah respond? How does Noah go home and tell his wife? So, dear, I heard from God today. Oh, really? What do you have to say? Flood of waters, destroy it and build an ark. Huh? Got any more information? I don't remember. Right? That'd be me. I don't remember. Sorry, dear. Right? But if you look at verse 22, it starts off with, thus did Noah. Right? Do you think Noah fully understood what was going to happen? No. I think the combination of that story and then Moses is totally hilarious. Because Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days. Getting the instructions for the tabernacle. Noah gets a couple of verses going, build an ark. Huh? How? What? You know? And then Moses broke the Ten Commandments to go back up there and get the instructions again. I think that's why he did it. That was for free. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. We have Abram. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we have Abram. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And he goes on. You forgot to tell me where, God. How do you think that conversation went? Here, we're moving. Okay, where? Don't really know yet. But God said we got to move. Huh. All right, that's good. But if you look down in verse 4, it says, so Abram departed. Right? Abraham didn't understand. Go where? He doesn't know, but he went. Okay? You got Joshua, right? Story of Joshua going around Jericho. Right? God gave him the plan. Go around, blow the trumpet. That's it? That's all you want me to do is... How do you think that conversation went with the men of war? All right, guys, this is what God wants us to do. We're going to march around, and then we're going to go sit down. And we'll try it again tomorrow. And the day after. For a couple days. For a week. And then on that last day, we're going to get a really good walk in. And we're going to blow trumpets and yell. It'll all work out. But then you know at the end of Joshua chapter 6 there in verse 6, it says, and Joshua called them in, and that's what he told them was going to happen. He's like, get ready. We're going in for this. Right? And the stories go on and on and on. You got David, anointed king, and he was king of nothing for a long time. Right? Job, the whole book of Job is not understanding what God is doing. You got the prophets, you got the disciples, you got the virgin birth with Mary, right? Let's go look at that. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 34. After the angel comes to Mary and explains to her all this stuff that's going to happen, Mary's like, okay, hold up a second. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Right? And the angel's like, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of it. And in verse 38, Mary's response is, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. She's like, all right, good enough for me. God said, here we go. Because virgin births happen all the time. Right? Okay. Take a look at Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. This is the story of the father whose kid had the spirit in him and the disciples couldn't cast it out. So we're going to pick that up in the middle there. Mark 9, verse 21. And he asked his father, this is Jesus speaking to the father, how long is it ago since the child came to him? And he said, of a child. And oft times had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Right? If we had a response more like that, more things would get done in our spiritual lives. Right? In order to have faith like that, we need to strengthen our minds. Right? Our minds are tremendously weak as Christians. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? Gird up the loins of your mind. That's not talking about putting pants on your head. Right? I mean, strengthen. Steel your mind. Be ready. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is a sound mind that can think clearly, right? Not one muddled by fears and what ifs and doubts and things, right? There's no faith in that. There's no faith in fear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just a couple pages over. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Right? The Bible is warning you. You got to gird up the loins of your mind. You got to strengthen your mind. You got to steel your mind so that you are not soon shaken. Right? You are not troubled. You are not deceived. You're not tricked by the things that the world is trying to do. Right? You look at those the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. And the things that they endured in verses 33 through 40, where they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousnesses and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire. And it goes on and on about those things. And you're like, yeah, that's right. Aha, great. But it goes on. And others in verse 36 had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments and stone and sawn asunder and were tempted and slain with the sword and wandered around and destitute. I mean, wait a minute, afflicted? Oh, I don't know. I like the stopping the mouths of lions stuff, but destitute and afflicted? I don't know. Maybe I don't want to. Right? How do you think the people in Hebrews 11 got to be in Hebrews 11? Each verse tells you it's by faith. Right? It's all by faith. You look at the life of Paul. He tells you it's going to be hard. It is going to be hard. Right? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Oh, that sounded fun. Right? Paul, super Christian Paul. Wait a minute. Paul, you're struggling? How could that possibly be, Paul? You wrote the New Testament, Paul. Yeah. It's hard. Why? Because the world hates you. Satan hates you. I don't know if you knew that or not. Satan hates you. Right? Child of God, Satan hates you. Right? But it's also exactly what God said would happen. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This know also, you got to know this, that in the last days, fun times shall come. Party times, good old times. Perilous times. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Right? And it goes on from there. Perilous times shall come. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verses 5 through 8 says, Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. This passage does not tell you that you will never see pestilence. You will never see an arrow. You will never see terror. He's telling you it's there. Don't be afraid of it. That arrow is not going to hit you. Right? Don't be afraid of that terror. It comes at night. It will come. Don't be afraid of it. Right? The arrow, you're going to see an arrow in the day. What, in broad daylight? Uh-huh. Okay. There is going to be destruction at noonday, it says. But what are we supposed to have? We're supposed to have faith to stand through that, right? John chapter 16. Mark, Luke, John chapter 16. And this is where it starts to come down to it. John chapter 16, verses 31 through 33. Verse 31 says, And Jesus answered them. So this is Jesus speaking. Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. So all the stuff you just read in Psalm 91, you can have peace through Christ. Right? In the world ye shall have tribulation. Not a question mark. But be of good cheer. Yay, tribulation. I have overcome the world, right? Tribulation, fear versus faith. And Jesus' question in the beginning is, do ye now believe? Right? Because through it all, Romans chapter 5, through it all, he's still working on us. Right? He is still working on us. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. There's that again, glorying in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And it goes on from there. Tribulation worketh patience. So it all goes back to the question that Christ asked in the beginning. Shall he find faith on the earth? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And while you're turning there, other than salvation, I want you to think of one thing that you've done by faith. Other than salvation, I want you to think of one thing that you've done by faith. And now I want you to think, how long ago was that? Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 through 39. For ye have need of patience. Okay, so we have need of patience. This is the word of God saying we have need of patience, and the only way to get patience is that T word. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Right? So if you're saved here tonight, the question is, have you been baptized? Right? Because you know from God's word, that's the next step of faith. Right? So if you're here saved tonight and you have not been baptized, why not? Right? Just so you're aware, even during a pandemic, the water is still warm. That hasn't been shut off yet. Okay? If you are saved and baptized here tonight, are you a member of a church? If not, why not? It's from God's word. You know that you're supposed to be. Doesn't have to be here. I don't care. Are you a member? The word of God says that you're supposed to be one. If you are a saved, baptized member of a church, are you in church? Right? Because the Bible says that you're supposed to be. That is the next step of faith after baptism. Church membership. You got to be in the place. Right? If you're a saved, baptized member of a church and you're in a church, are you doing what God wants you to do? If not, why not? We all have different skills. We all have different abilities. Right? We're not all going to have the same job. That's why there's tons of jobs and things to do. God asks different things from each of us. Right? You look through Hebrews 11. Everyone had to build an ark. Well, no, that's not right. They didn't all have to build an ark. Just Noah, because that's what he was told to do. Right? And the list goes on. What is your next step? What is your next step? Right? Because James 4:17 tells us that therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Right? To him it is sin. Now remember, Not everybody is called to the same job. But what are you called to do? Are you doing it? Have you taken that next step of whatever it is in that chain that you've been asked to do? Right? If we think back to Jonah's message, right? Jonah had a real simple message. Blows into Nineveh finally, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And then he goes, sits on a ledge and waits for it to all melt down. Right? But what did Nineveh do? Nineveh repented. Nineveh repented, and their city was spared. Okay? So the next question is, if all it took to remove the pestilence and the unrest that we have in our land is for you to confess your sin, would you do it? If that's all it took, you're the one God's waiting for. Right? God's going, man, if he would just, or if she would just, and then we could be done. But we like to sit there and go, no, I don't want to. It's not that bad of a sin. I'm fine. Really. Go away. Leave me alone. If all it took to remove pestilence and unrest from our land was for you to confess your sin, would you do it? All right, let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in your word today, Lord. We thank you for the clarity that your word has. We pray that your word would work in the hearts of the people, both here and at home. Pray that you'd guide and direct in the things going through their mind and the things that you bring up for them, Lord. Pray that you would work this all out for your honor and glory, Lord, and guide and direct in the rest of the night, Lord. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.